Welcome to Stop for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SWP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just when I join us for a talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, you can either join us on the phone, just off 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Actually, screw TalkShoe when it comes to the web. I'd say go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. That's right, go to Twitch. Twitch is going to be your best place to talk and chat with other SFB players, FedCom players. Hey, possibly you might have some people actually play Federation Empire there. And even Starfleet Battle Force. So come and join us. Let's go to twitch.tv/SFUOnCall. It's twitch.tv/SFUONCALL, and you'll go right to where we're streaming this wonderful, wonderful podcast. And of course, you need to contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you'll follow me on Twitter, of course, sfuoncall. Now, and you can find out what's going to be the topic for the evening. You can even see posts for the YouTube videos that I generate from each evening's podcast. And, of course, there is my personal account, Paul Franz. That's P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. There's no T in that. And if you want to follow me there, great. Just a reminder that I'm a very proud Catholic. I'm very much a Nose fan. And, of course, also I love tech. So if any of those bothers you, don't follow me. Otherwise, you know, to say the very least, I don't actually post many things. Usually it's retweets and possibly a post every once in a while. And sometimes actually I talk to people on Twitter. Shocker. And of course there's my other account, which is Franz Games. Just that is for everything that's gone for SCP Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. And of course we love the TalkCast. Gets turned up podcasts available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from, actually, quick news in SFB world. It's not ADB this week, because ADB has been quiet this week. But just one thing, which is there's an SFB tournament. With, unfortunately, the Council of Five Nations, they decided not to have it because of, I think it's lack of interest. I forget why. But so the SFB tournament that usually run there, they decided to actually run it anyway, but this is going to be at Dave Chang's house. Now, before you go, how the heck can I fit so many people in his house? Well, he's got a really big basement. He says it's good enough for like fitting 15 people in, which is to me is huge. So I'm assuming we can play seven or eight games at the same time, because if you can't play seven or eight games at the same time, it's kind of crazy. Now, obviously, this is going to be like the old days, guys. You're there for one and one thing only. And that's to play SFB. You're not there to play any other game. You're there mainly to play SFB. There may be some other games that might get played along the way. Hey, if you want to bring your own games, fine. You know, if you know someone likes that game, like Puerto Rico or some other game like that, feel free to bring it. Now, that just to let you know, that's being run from September 23rd through the 25th. It's going to be at Dave's house in Albany, New York. Just to let you know where it's going to be located. It's Albany, New York. Now, you need to contact Dave Chang. You can go either to the discussion board. He did a post there. Facebook page. He did one there. And if you're part of the email list that gets sent out, obviously you can contact them there too. But, you know, if you're interested in going to this, please contact them by the end of August, which, guys, it's coming up very fast. He said August 31st is what he wanted replies by. So, please, you know, if you're going, tell them ASAP. So if you hear this, go. Go tell them. Moving on with the SFB Online client updates. A couple things that I've been working on. One is now we have a dark mode as part of the online clients. That's going to be part of the next release. Also, that's part of the next release is going to be I'm going to be adding support for the way demo counts is going to be completely changed. Also, we're going to have instead of having a single room, I mean the two rooms, we're going to have a single room which is going to be used for both SFB and FedCom. I'm thinking about now is I'm probably just going to have get rid of FedCom and SFB Online and just have the bullpen, just the SFB bullpen, and that's going to be used for everybody, both FedCom and SFB. I'd like to probably genericize it, but I think it might be best not to do that. So, and when it comes to libraries, there's been no progress there, no corrections, no updates, no additions. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, well, it's just me and Doug and got Dave, and I'm sure there's going to be other people joining me in the chat room over on Twitch. Hey, Doug.
Hello.
How you doing this evening?
I am doing relatively okay, and how are you tonight?
For a moment there, I thought you were going to quote George Carlin. I am not on will. Uh-huh. Yeah, I am not on will. So.
I am not on will.
Yes.
Thank you.
Fine. Hair is fine.
I'm less than fine, but not on well. Yeah. There's that, I guess. Found the rules.
Cool. And as I said,
I like that they set up the one part that they, for the most part, you don't need the extra special rules.
Mm-hmm.
But it's mostly covered on the.
Right. For the stronger, stronger shields are already put onto the ship card. I don't think the X-Ships, I don't think it changes the power of the weapons at all. In fact, I'm pretty sure it doesn't. But yeah.
You get a better hit chance against non-X-Ships for one thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll get started that in just a moment. Hold it. Excuse me. Unfortunately, they have not come out with Capsule Log number 53 in ebook form, so I have to actually grab the physical copy. Yeah, because you know, as you
I
mentioned,
just don't communicate.
Yeah, I know. Which only has certain rules. There's certain ones that are not covered, and as it was mentioned, is that some of the ship changes. They're reflected in the ship cards. They have like more power. They have stronger shields, but things like batteries, they look the same, but instead of holding 1 point of energy, they hold 3 points of energy. And anyone who knows X ships from SFB, it's like duh, you know. And anyone who's ever played second generation X ships. Have you ever done that, Doug? Do you ever get those rules?
Yeah, I did that way back.
Back in.
I remember that way back in the day. Like,
yep.
Super overpowered.
Oh yeah. Oh, they were awful. They were awful. And as Barry was one of the Aries. I forget. Barry and Gary. Those two names are too close together, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, it was Barry.
Yeah, and that was Barry. I pointed out that basically ADB reneged on the promise to update the second generation rules, though they have recognized that they might not be balanced and so forth, but they will be updated later to reflect things, and ADB has yet to do that. But the reason I only mentioned...
That's probably not a priority.
Hmm? The only reason I'm bringing up secondary.
I can see it not.
What's that?
I can see that not being a high priority for them.
Oh yeah. Oh, I totally understand why. Yeah. Well, I totally understand why. Lord knows, given the history of ADB, anyone knows a lot of the history of the ADB, especially as of the past, like what, 10, 15 years, given the different issues from health, you know, their own health, you know, issues that they've run into, the death of family members, things like that, you know, this kind of tends to slow you down a bit.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yes, it does. But the only reason I even brought up the second generation X chips at all is that second generation X chips, for them, the X batteries, those actually held 5 points of energy instead of 3 points of energy, which was, you know, just kind of passing a comment thing. Whether when they do a revised, if they ever get around to doing a revised version, you know, of the second generation X chips, will it still be five? We don't know. You know, that's. I know they got ideas and they have a good inkling of how they are going to do it. You know, they got ideas on, you know, when it comes to second generation X chips and so forth. Five. Yeah, and the rope batteries also hold five. And as Russ points out, just a reminder, when it comes to the captain's logs, because I mentioned that, you know, I don't have the e-copy. ADB did mention this on the discussion board, which is that they'd be updated back on the captain's log release schedule. Steve Cole was mentioning that captain's log 51 will be PDF soon, then 52 a month later, and 53 a month later. Though I think you got Russ. Are you sure about that? That might be wrong. I could have sworn it was the opposite. That 52 is going to be coming out soon, and then 53 a month later, and 54 at some point, and then. And after the 54 won't come out until after Capsule 55 comes out in paper. Next generation, they were not quite like Andros. Only the batteries were like Andros. Everything else totally different. And when it comes to second generation X chips, it was a flop. It really was a flop. Overall, when it comes to the weapons and the power, and it was crazy. You know, it really didn't work. Overall, it wasn't balanced and so forth. And actually, there's certain things in here that with the first generation X ships, when it comes to FedCom, which some of these are obviously you have direct ports from SAB over to FedCom. In general, you know, when it comes to firing X chips on non-X chips, they get an advantage. You know, the -1 to the die roll. So, like, a 6 becomes a 5, a 2 becomes a 1, a 1 becomes a 0, but that does, but a 1 can't become a 0 because there's no 0. So, though, what was it? Was it the
East? Wouldn't that be a
shift? What's that?
Wouldn't that be a column shift?
That's the that was what I was thinking, right? That's what I was thinking about was EW, because I forget if you actually can have a positive ECCM shift where you shift it onto the next column to the left versus the normal ECM shift, which is to the right. I.e., if you are 6 and you do a +1 shift, you actually shift to one column to the right. So, really? I'm sorry. I apologize for a moment. Now, Zuko, you know I need you to get down. I know you want to play with the mic. Actually, what you want to do is.
Getting some
Okay, hold on. There. Get down. I apologize for interrupting. No, do you stay down? Oh, for the love of Pete. Okay. But, you know, that's general overall rule. No, you're not getting my water. Am I going to be fighting you the whole time here? Probably. The one, obviously, some of the rules that are not, you know, on reflected on the card itself are things like X ships can fire a phaser one as two phaser threes. And that's if they're used against a seeking weapon or fighters or shuttles. And this can be on the same impulse by basically it is a poor man's Gatling phaser, a partial Gatling phaser is what it turns into. If you fire the phaser three shot, mark a small box under the normal used box, which limits the second shot to a phaser three. Yeah. Russ, yeah, I'll double check on the post. Okay. But anyway, photons, the only difference in photons is that if you want to, you can fire a non-overloaded photon every turn. So if you can pay all 4 points of energy, you can fire a photon in standard mode in a single turn. So that I think that's a great benefit. Obviously, if you think about it, that is basically you're paying the same cost as a overload disruptor, and you're getting around the same amount of damage. Possible damage, because of course then we have the whole issue with photons is that they suck when it comes to to hit. You know. Okay, good. Now my cat's going to play with one of my USB drives. Fun. But at least we'll get him out of the way. Hey, get him out of the way.
He's a good kitty.
He's a kitten. He's like 4 months old, so. And he's actually fixed. Aww. He's still as hyper as ever. No, it's crazy. So, you know, nothing of that's kind of cool. Because, as I said, you know, photons, when it comes to the amount of damage that they can do, are equivalent to an overloaded disruptor. I mean, a single turn. And the original idea of why you had the photons where you had two turns of arming, but you can do 8 points of damage, was that, you know, disruptors can do it in one turn, and photons can do it in two turns, and you can basically guys can pay the same cost, but the photons just all the damage is done in for which would be over two turns in a single turn. If you fire a disruptor twice, you know, it's the same amount of cost, same amount of damage approximately, versus an overloaded photon, which does this around the same amount of damage as two turns in a single turn. What was that, Doug?
They're equal weapons, basically.
Right.
And the big thing about it, though, is when you get into the X-Tech, is you're not doing the overloads twice. I think there was a rule where you could do overloads twice, but you risk blowing the thing up.
Right.
That was one of the rule sets that got lost in our last move. But, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
They suck on the hit, but they're better on the damage.
Oh, agreed. The big question
and
comes.
In the X-Tips, you get the disruptors.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the one thing with the disruptors is that they actually can be hit. One of the smaller ships, their range goes out to range 25 from the range 15. And then also, if you standard load disruptors, you can hold them from 1 point of energy going on to the next turn, 2 points of energy if it's overloaded. So, and also it says here that the disruptor can be armed in the 1E3A power phase in preparation for the next turn. And I forget if that means where that is. Because I forget if that's like the Federation photons. Because Federation photons, you can like finish the overloads on at not quite the last impulse of the turn, but it's after the last impulse of the turn. There's a segment which is in between that and basically energy allocation. So I'm not sure.
I was just about to-
Yes.
Well, the thing with that is you could overload your photons anytime you want just by paying the extra power.
Mm-hmm.
It'll cost 2 points to finish it if you partially overload it on the first turn of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you commit the power to it, you're stuck with it. So if you have your reserve warp on the next turn and you can pay 1 point to hold them and reserve warp them later. Yeah, I don't know how they were doing that in the specialized rules for X-ships for FedCon, but I think the biggest thing is probably just being able to run them as X-ships from what I'm seeing in that tiny little bit.
understood. Yeah, the one section which you don't have, which is the plasma torpedoes. I'll go over that real quick so that you can comment on it. All the plasma F torpedoes on X-ships were upgraded to plasma Ls. Plasma L launchers can arm and fire either Plasma F or Plasma G using non-X rules. Plasma type S and type L torpedoes can be fast armed and fired as a one-turn Plasma F paying 7 points of energy, i.e. paying all the energy. Actually, not 7 points of energy. That's more than the total cost of all of the Plasma F loaded charged at the same time, because that's five, and they're paying seven. That's why I thought that was overpaying. Yeah, because that's one thing I was going to comment on, which was I think paying 7 points of energy is way too much. And in a way,
but you're getting a one turn 20 point.
Yes. Oh. Agreed. You're a 1 point. A one turn fast load F is what you're getting, because even in non X ships, you can do a fast load F, like on a type S launcher or type G, or anything by type F. You can do a fast load, which is a two turn armed plasma F. And I'm not sure if they have fast load Fs in FedCom. I have to check the rules for that. I know SMB they do, but maybe not in FedCom. But the whole idea of that was that you would do two and two. You would do two and two because you wouldn't be loading it as an F. You'd be loading it as like an S or a G, which like a G is like 2, 2, 3. But what you would do is you'd do two and two, and on the second turn, you could use reserve power and 2 points of energy, and you can actually launch an F torpedo. And so I can understand
why you're giving up damage for the S or the extra range for the G.
So I
understand.
Right. I understand that you basically, you're getting an F in one turn. And you're paying just one more point of energy than a former two-turn fast load F. So,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Maybe
maybe it's just purely because of, I really think that Plasma players overall, when it comes to FedCom, got screwed. Versus drones. Just because of the way you normally start the game you know, you can't start the game with a fully loaded plasma torpedoes in FedCom, which sucks. You know,
always on your third turn of arming. Is that the best you can do?
Yeah, basically, you can have, okay. You can, hopefully Chris will okay. Chris Nosey did remind me. Yeah, you can do two turn. Let's try this again. Two turn Fs in FedCom. And Chris, please correct me if I'm wrong on this one. What is it? Dang it. Crap. I'm sorry. Now what is it? That you can actually, you can start the game with fully loaded plasmas, but basically you have to spend that turn paying the third turn arming cost. On that, so overall, plasma players will start at a slower speed because if they want to fully charge their plasmas, even if they can be held, they have to pay for that third turn of arming. So they're going much slower. Unlike other ships, in the case of photons, you know, they can just say, okay, I'm going to empty my batteries and I'm going to start with fully overloaded photons. And if you don't want them fully overloaded, you can just say, okay, I'm not going to play it fully over, but you have fully loaded photons. And at no additional cost, except for, you know, obviously you have to hold the photons. You have to pay the holding energy. So in my mind, that's kind of crazy. You know, that gives such a penalty against FedCom players. You know, that's one thing that if I actually had a group of FedCom players, that's one thing I might actually adjust for. I might say, well, you know, at the start of the game, you can actually have your plasma torpedoes held. You know, you can do, all you have to do, it's the fully armed. You can do a rolling delay if you wish, like you can do in SFB. But you have the option to just have them fully armed and just have them so that they are held. And you just have to do what the photons people have to do, which is to fully drain your batteries to allow that to happen at the beginning of the game. To me, that's completely fair. Now, I'm assuming that A to B did that for a reason when it comes to balance. But I think the whole thing is BS. Okay, Chris quoted the rules, so that there's no misinterpretation, no mistakes here. I will read this just so that people know what it says. Chris Nuzzi mentions one. In addition, the ship has the option to have the first two turns of loading for all type GSR. Plasma torpedoes completed at cost of not counting the batteries and determining the starting energy. Special scenarios might prohibit this if the ship did not have time or energy to preload the plasma torpedoes. The number of batteries left empty will not exceed the amount of power it would take to load the second turn of arming. All eligible GSR plasma torpedoes must use the same. So,
okay.
Right. So currently, same level loading level, which I figured that's what that meant, Chris. But thank you for clarifying. So basically, it's saying that in addition, the ship has the option to have two turns of loading for them completed, at the cost of not counting the batteries. So, again, what you're doing is you're requiring, so if I was correct, and it's even worse. So to do it so that you can, that you can pay all that wonderful energy, you all, in addition, you have to pay the third turn of arming cost on the first turn of a scenario if you're a plasma player. But in addition, to give you just that gift, yeah, just to get that ability, you have to drain your batteries. Am I get that right? Yeah, the cost of not counting the batteries in determining the starting energy. So basically, you have empty batteries. That's the way I read it. So just to give, just to have the opportunity to do that, you have to drain your, you have to have dead batteries. You can't use your batteries at the beginning of the scenario. So if you decide not to do that, then my interpretation of this is that if you didn't pay that on the first turn, you're on the second turn of arming, not the third, the second. So you can't actually launch those plasma torpedoes until turn two if you don't want to drain your batteries, which of course somebody tells me everyone would do. I'd like to know, I would love to see the research on this one. I would love to see what is it that people found that was so overpowering when it comes to plasma torpedoes that, you know, they can't start the scenario with them basically fully armed at basically standard weapon status 3 SFB rules. Why? You know? Obviously, I know for the photon torpedoes, it doesn't use the standard rules either, but I don't think it's as big of a penalty as it is for the plasma torpedoes. And that is, you know, the plasma torpedoes, they don't have all the options they have in SFB. You know, they don't have the shotgun. They don't have the enveloping torpedo. Which is the interesting part, which I did find in the discussion board, a correction, which was they do have here. They said, oh, by the way, this cannot be added to the arming energy from previous turns, but that energy can be discharged and or lost and is lost to clear the tube for fast arming. So basically, if you want to, if you put 2 points of energy into the torpedo tube for the second turn of arming or the first turn of arming, you can then say, okay, I'm going to get rid of that. You know, I'm going to discharge that, and then which clears the tube for, and then you can then fast loaded F at that point. But just okay, that's fair. That's completely fair. But here's what it says: fast loaded plasma cannot be armed as enveloping or shotgun torpedoes. Well, I went back to the discussion board because I went, okay, there's got to be a rata on this, because that can't be true. Not that it can't be true. The thing is, there are no, there's such thing as enveloping or shotgun torpedoes in FedCom. And there's no PPDs. Actually, that's one thing. I forget. I don't think that was the case. I'm thinking about the in second generation X ships, you could actually pay energy to quote unquote reload your pseudo torpedo.
No, I don't recall that. I think you just had extras. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, I could be wrong too. I think you might have had an extra. I thought you might have two PVTs, and if you wanted to, you could actually pay, I think, a point or two. I forget how much, and reload the torpedo tubes. You know, a pseudo plasma torpedoes. Also, you know, of course.
That doesn't.
Yes.
That doesn't ring a bell.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood. I'm doing this from memory too. I don't have the second generation X rules. I forget. That got lost in one of my moves. I forget if I get lost or I threw it out as part of one of my moves. Don't know.
I'm a pack rat. I don't voluntarily throw stuff like that out.
Yeah, I might have some stuff for
it
you.
It particularly hurts.
If you're interested. Also, it just mentioned here that the Plasma S torpedoes also upgrade the Plasma M's. And I forget what's the difference between Plasma F and L's and S and M's. Which is... Okay, that sounds weird. But anyway, yeah. Okay. It says, type S and L torpedoes can be rapid armed and fired in two turns by paying the second and third arming energy during the second turn. And the beauty of this one is that you can pay for the second turn of arming. On the second turn, you're paying for second turn of arming. And then if you want to, you can say, oh, just put in the additional, pay for the third turn arming cost now and have a fast load of that torpedo. So, and you can use that as towards, the fully armed status. So, I have to look at the type L cost when it comes to charging. Because I forget. I'd have to look up my X-ship rules for SFB is what I'd have to look up. And I don't remember them at the moment, to be honest. When it comes to fusion torpedoes, fusion beams, big surprise. It mentions that they can fire every turn. There's no cooldown turn. And it says, use same energy, same chart. And Hellbores.
Wow.
Actually, Hellbores didn't change all that much to me. Other than a ship may fire its Hellbore every turn by paying the complete energy cost from them at once. So basically, paying 6 points of energy in one turn, which is insane. When it comes to the amount of energy. Of course, even standard photon torpedoes, which is four per. So if you have, let's say that you have a Federation CA, that's 16 points of power just to fire a standard photon in one turn. I agree that.
Yeah, but how many Hellbores do you have?
Oh, yeah. Oh, agreed. Hellbores, you usually have a maximum of like two per ship, unless you're getting the big ships. And then in X ships, you don't have those kind of big ships, i.e., battleships. Now, that's one thing I do not know. Let me just look at this for a moment. Okay. Oh, let me look at this. There is a Hydran Knight X ship. In capsule number 53, which means I can't show it to you guys. I know. I just want to see if I can. I want to see if I can find it. Okay. Got Gorn. Come on. Of course, he has to be in the. Oh, there it is. No, there's the Knight. It's a destroyer. Okay, yeah, I forgot. It's a destroyer. And the Knight destroyer has three Hellbores. And let me look up the real quick here, which is 22, 25, 28. So there's a total of 28 points of damage in that squadron scale. So 28 points of damage, 28 points of power. I apologize. So that if you fire all three Hellbores that you have, that's 18 points of energy of the 28. And so 10 points of energy, you can actually go speed 16 if you want. But that's about the only thing you're going to be firing is going to be those Hellbores. And doing that made me lose my spot. Okay, I got it again. Okay. Now the overload energy can be added at any time, but overload over the Hellbores cannot be held. Armed Hellbores, regular standard ones, can be held for 2 points of energy. So, you know, now you can hold the Hellbores with first generation X ships, which is interesting. But you cannot. In single term, Hellbores cannot be overloaded. Wow. That would be interesting if you could, because that would be 9 points of energy into a Hellbore for an overloaded shot. Dang.
That might have been just a bit too much.
Oh, agreed. Heck, you can't fire photon torpedoes. You can't fire overloaded in a single turn. So the big surprise there. Now, when it comes to the drone racks, which I think it's mentioned in yours. Yeah, it is. This is basically all of the X-ships now come, like the Federation multifunction drone racks, i.e. they have 4 standard drones and 4 anti-drones. And the only difference is that the drones are, instead of speed 24, they're speed 32. It mentions that seeking X ships can actually control double their seeking weapons. Also, of course, ESGs can hold up to 7 points of power, and the scenario can start with 5 points of energy. This says obviously 6 points of power produces 24 points of damage, and while 7 points of power produces 28 points of damage, so it can be really killer. Mention new rules of other weapons, fusion beams, plasma torpedoes, ion cannons, particle cannons, shield crackers will be presented as needed in X-ships or a communique. Actually, that's kind of annoying. And here's why I say that. And it just mentions about maneuvering that X-ships always move last when it comes to order of movement in subpulses. And that is, okay. Oops, excuse me. Almost knocked over the water. Here it is. Don't mind me. Apologize. I think that's the wrong one. I need that one instead. Okay. I just wanted to move it over to I can show people the Saltorian X-ship. The Saltorian destroyer X-ship. And let's see if it actually comes up. I think I missed it. Let me just show this for a moment. Yeah, I missed it. So, is it? Oh, you gotta be kidding me. Damn. Okay, and I'm going to hide this. My buttons stop working. So it has, you know, in communicate number 164. They say, oh, yeah, you know, here's the Tales of Sartorian. It's got the particle cannons. Well, in this case, a particle cannon, one web breaker / shield cracker. But then you look at the X, look further up, there are no rules for the particle cannons. Now, I might have missed it. I'll do double check here. Let's go with 163. Nope. 163. Communicating 163 has the Laren War Destroyer, which is X. Yes. Yes, Doug.
Sorry about that.
That's fine. Okay, and this is 46, 165, which doesn't have anything either, doesn't look like. That one doesn't. And this is 162. Anything there? Other than mentioning caps log number 53, which has lots of stuff in it. Which means it probably came out before Cabs Log number 53. So another beautiful X-ship, which is the Wind Cluster X-Destroyer, because that's one thing. Cabs Log number 53 and all the ships that are in the communiques and the captain's log, they're all destroyers. They didn't show any of the heavy cruisers, which is, I gotta think about it. I don't remember if there was, other than cruisers and destroyers, I wasn't sure if there's any other X ships, because I don't think there really were any frigates that were X ships. I know, obviously, no battleships.
Yes, there were. Yeah, there were. They had frigates.
They had frigates? I'm not talking about.
They had frigates.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the Klingon. That's not a frigate. That's a destroyer. But so the
they had frigates, yeah, originally. I feel horrible not having that to look at.
Oh,
but yeah.
Oh,
I do believe they did have frigates.
Hmm?
It was frigates and frigates, destroyers, cruisers. It was, I think it was all three of the lower pipes.
Mm-hmm.
So no dreadnoughts, no battleships, nothing like that.
Crap. That was weird. Oh, I apologize. I apologize so greatly. Guys, to the people on Twitch, I apologize. I selected the wrong scene in OBS, and my sound was dead. So I apologize for that. Just quick, and I do mean really quick, quick repeat of what we were talking about was basically that the Saltorians don't have any, they mentioned in the Cabs Log number 53 that, hey, you know, we're gonna post rules for the other weapons, particle cannons, ion cannons, that kind of things, on an as needed basis, or as part of the actual X ship's attack rule, module. Now, I'm assuming they have to have it as part of the module, but the problem is that they posted a Saltorian X ship, and we have no rules for the weapons on the X ship. So, that's something I might actually bring up with ADB, because of, it's like, okay, guys, you gave them in the communique, you can't play them. It would be like, let me double check. Maybe I missed something. Maybe I completely utterly missed something, but nope. Because one thing I was wondering is if they had mentioned something on the actual ship card itself, saying, "Oh, like particle cannons, da 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 da," and web breaker, da da da. Because basically, it would require just a little blip, mentioning about those tool weapons. Now, this is 164. Yeah, 164 would be after Cabs Log number 53 came out. So, that's the only thing I was mentioning is that, and actually, same for the Vari. The Vudar. Because you have the Vudar here, which has the IPG, you have the ion cannons. Okay, actually, let me bring up this. I prefer the squadron scale, makes it easier. IPG, ion cannons, anything else special here? I think that's all there is. But again, here, this is for General War, it's for Klingon Spy. And in this issue, it mentions this. This present for the DWX, this is the status of the X-Ship support, a list of official X-Ship playtest rules in Cabs Log number. Okay. It says that this is the last of the X-Ship to support the list of official X-Ship playtest rules. The thing is, I don't see... Maybe... Yeah, Russ, you got enough browsers there. That is... Maybe I missed something. Maybe they had a pre-release module? Maybe? Like a beta module of the X-Ship rules? Because I know they have that for the Omegas. I'd have to check and see if they actually might have published it on the... like Warehouse 23 or Wargame Vault or Drive-Thru RPG. Those are the three ones that AWB uses for posting up their electronic versions. But anyhow, I'm assuming they did it for a particular reason, i.e. didn't want to give away too much stuff, and actually encourage you to actually buy the X-Ship modules. Which is understandable. You want to put out so much stuff to encourage you to go and actually purchase the stuff. And I understand that. I'm not adverse to that whole idea. Okay.
This is all staying in business. I'm sure they like that part.
Yeah. And I like them staying in business. Believe it or not, it's a shocker. You know. But
yeah, they have to make money too. I mean, time and effort to do all that stuff.
Oh, understood.
And publish it.
No, understood. And I,
very
I,
nice.
Oh, I totally agree. I want them to stay in business. I will pay money for games. You know, I don't require them to be free. And
yeah.
Don't get me started on that. Oh, Lord have mercy. Well. People have had this deranged, absolutely freaking deranged idea that something that you create on a computer should be free because it doesn't cost you anything to make it.
Oh, the problem is glut of stuff out there that is free.
Yeah.
But not really because it's got the hook on it.
Right.
Like the hidden hooks in it. There's a lot of free-to-play games out there.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them have, like, you know, pay-to-win aspect of microtransactions and whatnot. That may be where some of that's coming from.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, no, not it. Yeah, but Doug?
Yeah, when you develop stuff,
I understand, but yeah. Doug, this is way before the idea of micropayments within games occurred.
Oh, I know.
Or, you know, the people have this deranged idea that, okay, you create a website, and I like all the information that you post on that website. Yeah, and we don't want to see ads. No, and you know, and we don't want to pay for it. No, it's on the internet. It's free, right? No, I'm sorry. Either the ads pay for it.
There's an entire adult industry that would like to have words with you about that. I think a large part of their attitude comes from just the glut of stuff that they don't have to pay for.
Oh.
And that changes over time. If people really want the thing, they'll pay for it.
Oh.
This is one of those cases where it's a niche thing that you might, yeah, you're not going to get it for free somewhere else necessarily unless you make your own thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, understood.
Side rant.
Oh, you want to talk about a side rant? A side rant would be also that when the pandemic hit, there was a person who suggested, "Oh, people are in hard times. You know, you really should make SFB Online free." It's like, no. I have not increased the price on SFB Online for like 10 to 15, easily 10 years. I have not increased the price for 10 years. So basically, even though the cost of living has gone up, the price of SFB Online has not gone up. Even though my costs have gone up, I have not pushed them on to the consumer. So, excuse me? You know.
Yeah. I'll put it another way. People are entitled and crazy sometimes.
Yeah. If you, I mean, so you're telling
that's kind of it.
Yeah. So you're telling me you can't pay $5 a month for playing SFB? You know? Now, I understand that.
If you want to do it through the line.
Right. Oh, I did get it. I got a very nice email from somebody, and I understand their perspective, which was they said, you know, for what we're paying, $15 for, you know, basically $5 a month, I'm not getting that much use out of it to pay for $5 a month. And, you know, and I understand that. And so I was thinking about different ideas of, okay, how can I have it so that people will be more willing to pay for it? And, you know, one of the crazy ideas, so far the craziest idea I currently have is purely on the basis of you pay on a per turn basis. Kind of idea of microtransactions to a certain degree. So instead of paying for $15 a month, you pay $1 a turn. Or maybe 50 cents a turn.
Good Lord.
You know. Let's say 50 cents a turn for tournament, a dollar per turn for fleets. Okay? Would that be good? You know? Or you want to pay...
I don't know. I think that's kind of hosing people over a little bit if they play a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe leave it at the subscription for them and offer somebody a smaller rate. But I would have to really think on that concept for you. Because...
Mm-hmm.
That just sounds like somebody trying to needle you, you know, like walking into the 7-Eleven and saying, I just filled a cup halfway up. Can I get, you know, can I pay 50 cents instead of a dollar for the drink, you know, but it's the same cup.
Yeah.
Annoying the heck out of the clerk because they don't feel like paying full price for something.
Right.
I mean, come on. It's like, if you're charging... What did you say, $15 a month, or is that for like 3 months or something?
Yeah, $15 for every 3 months.
Ridiculous. Yeah, that's, if they do just a few games, you know, it's less than minimum wage.
Yeah. Oh.
Hour-wise, what they're paying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there
that's,
have...
And that's insanely ridiculous.
Yeah, agreed. There have been people...
You're offering a service to them.
Right.
Here's the thing. SFP is a niche community. And if you have people in different cities and the only way they can get together is through that service, you're offering them something that doesn't come in the box when they bought the box.
Right.
And you have to pay your overhead, too. And if they're trying to just, you know, wheedle you down like, a, you know, carving that wood a little too thin, they're going to break eventually. Because that guy that doesn't want to pay full price, $15 for a month.
No, for 3 months.
Yeah, for 3 months. $5 a month for crying out loud. I mean, I've been a poor guy my whole life, and I don't begrudge either of the two online games I pay for. I'm not going to mention them right now because it's not the topic, but I don't begrudge them their freaking subscription service. And to me, if you got somebody out there that's probably in a much better position in life than I am, yeah, kiss my butt, basically, is what I would tell them. It's like you're providing a service that, you know, is cheaper than driving to the next city. You know, if you're in New York and you want to play with somebody in frickin' Philly, it would probably cost you more in gas tolls, parking, eating, and everything else to go visit your buddy in the next major city than it does to pay for 3 months of going through the online service. Get a freaking grip.
Oh, understood.
Oh, okay.
Bye-bye.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, well, you know, I agree that
I wouldn't. I know you might want a more tactful way of putting it to them, but like, yeah. The only thing I could see is maybe if you really, really wanted to get, you can give them like a monthly subscription option instead of the 3 month option. Pay me $5 and just take a hike. And maybe it won't hurt them as much in one shot.
Thank you, Russ, so much for supporting SFB Online. Because Russ is mentioning here, it's like that he's been a subscriber for 6+ years and he hasn't played, and had yet to play a game on the service. But, you know, but he needs SFB Online to stick around, so he supports it by having a subscription, which, I, as I said, I appreciate, Russ. Thank you so much. But it's actually bringing that up. That reminds me of a couple things. That's some things that are becoming down, that will be coming down the road. I need to work on them some more. I've got some of it based off of, and some of it is going to require. What I want to do it and whether I'm going to be able to do it are two different things. What I want to do is move off of using IRC as the back end. That's what I'd like to do, and have a lighter back end. The whole idea of a lighter back end is that more to the point of people will be able to use it, and it will be it'll use HTTP. Obviously it can be used secure links, you know, HTTPS, but also more importantly, it's not connection based, which means that I haven't heard it for a while, but people were complaining for a while that, you know, all of a sudden they get kicked off. Well, they get kicked off because in some cases, because their internet sucked. That every once in a while their internet connection would drop. Well, the thing is, the client currently uses a connection-based protocol. That means it has to maintain that connection forever. While you're on that service, that connection between the server and you has to be maintained. That's actually a physical connection. Unlike a browser doesn't always maintain that connection. Because all they do is they show you a web page based off all the different requests for data that you get. You know. So, whoops. No. Thank you. My cat just came and stepped on my keyboard and almost killed OBS. You want to talk about making things go by real quick. But I'd like to do that. That part of it, I'm not so sure, but here's the reason why I'd like to do that, because I'm probably going to have to move servers to do what I want to do to force people to upgrade the client, because they have to update the client, because the idea behind the new update is pushing forward on an idea I've had for quite a long time now, because there's a podcast I used to listen to. They went off the air. Which was called Release Notes. And one of the things they brought up is the whole idea of landing pages and on-tracking people. The idea is that people would register for an account, a free account, which is basically considered a quote-unquote demo user. So they could play, they could log in, they could use as the online client, but they'd be limited. They'd be considered a demo user, and I'd have to have it so that the client could make it so they were known to be a demo user, but also more importantly, and the reason why you have to do that is because of it no longer have demo as the beginning part of their user account, because that's usually the way it was done in the past. So I have to change the client so it does that. But more importantly, I have to have it so that people know that they're demos, their demo account. And to do that, I need to change the back end a bit so it can recognize that, oh, that the person is actually using a demo account. And that to do that, I have to basically shut down the old service and bring up a new service. So that, because if you're using the old client with the new service, then people can use the online client for free. You know, and they're not the limited demo account. So that's one of the things that I want to bring up. The other thing that actually I've been working on because of Jeff, I forget his last name. He's a brand new member, and he has problems with the contrast. Because SFB Online, and Lord knows a lot of things, these days, actually, okay. SFB Online has basically, it's designed with white backgrounds, bright colors, you know, when it comes to coming, you know, showing forward. Now, the thing is with that, this person needs a dark mode to use the client without it causing him pain. So actually I found a look and feel for the app so that it basically now has a dark mode. I'm still working on a little bit. There's certain parts of it that weren't quite setting the way I want them to set. And I'm not sure if, that is what I'm missing. I'm missing something because currently the one of them is showing a black background when it shouldn't be showing a black background. So I'm going to look into see if I can solve that problem because I might not solve that problem at all. I might solve the problem by going back to the way it was previously, which is that for the chat room, because the problem is the chat room, the chat area. The chat area, before I start mucking around with it, the default, whatever it was, default background and foreground, that's what you'd set the background and foreground for that list. So if you had a black background for the default chat style, then they would use that. Or if you wanted a white background for the default chat style, then it would set the whole background for the whole chat area to be white, which was the default is white. So I'm probably going to just gonna restore that back to that and go along that way. Cause I'm looking at some of this code, I'm going, did I ever do this? I know there's one of them, which I know why I did it. Not that I remember it, but I can easily, look at it and go, yeah, I know why I did that, which was I do some toggling of the background colors, which normally it means that I had to fiddle with it because of the screen. Like one of the look and feels for the Swing application, there's a bug in the look and feel. And the only way to get it so it proper shows the proper color is that I have to kind of do that kind of tweak, which just toggles it back and forth. So that's the two things I'm working on. As I said, the whole idea of the registration is that to get the registration of that person so they have that person's email account. And after you have that person's email account, then you can send them an email, and that has, okay, welcome to SFB Online, welcome to FedCom Online, and blah, blah, blah. Now, that's another thing I want to change. I want to change it so instead of having a separate room for SFB and FedCom, it's just going to be online. I want to change it so I get rid of SFB Online and FedCom Online. They're considered the same service, and it's just that between the two services, you know, as I was pointing out to another possible customer, was that the only difference between a FedCom Online and SFB Online account at the moment is what ships you have available to you. Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure I call the client actually SFU Online, believe it or not. But the whole idea is that currently I have a login on the login window. I have SFB Online and FedCom Online. So what I want to do is go and get around both and then change it so that there's a common area that people log in and can chat. Now, obviously, there's going to be one minor issue there, and it's going to be it might cause some confusion. And that is, people that want to play SFB or people want to play FedCom, when they talk, is that how you want to play? He's like, sure. Now, the question is, you guys are going to have to, you're going to have to take it upon yourself to actually ask the guy, do you want to play SFB or do you want to play FedCom? That's the that's part of the topic that's going to have to happen. Because currently, if you line up in the FC online, and you're basically, it shunts you off to the FedCom chat area. While SFB, if you say SFB online, it goes over to the SFB section. The whole idea was that you have people on the same server, but even though they're on the same server, they'll talk to people that are in their community. Now that I realize that's probably a dumb thing, because also with now the number of people being lower, I'll admit it, it's lower than it was many, many, many years ago. That I should probably combine the two into a single chat room for everybody. So, because this one person was logging into a FedCom online and there was nobody there. Yeah, that's true. There's no one there. But if I can have it so that both I get rid of the distinction and that everyone goes in the same chat room, you have a greater possibility of actually meeting up with somebody and talking to them. Because that's the one thing, if anyone, gee, Lord have mercy, if you guys have ever, for all those people who have been with me for so long, you'll remember what I said, and I do repeat this ever so often, probably at least once a year these days. Back in the day, I did all kinds, multiple times a day. And that is, the reason why I want to have this podcast, this time of actually live with people, you know, people in the chat room, people, you know, on the phone. I want to build a community, a place where y'all can actually come and talk about one of your favorite games that you like to play. That's also why there is a Discord server that you can get on and you can talk there. Yeah. Russ? Yeah, please do. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Doug, you're not reading what I'm reading, which is, and the thing is, Russ has teased me for too long about that, which is, he said that, Russ mentions his call sign in Twit is Mad Cow. Anyone who remembers, was it 90s that, you know, that Mad Cow disease? I forget.
Yes, it was. Okay. It was way back.
Yeah, I know it was way back. It's, I forget if it was 80s or the 90s. I did remember the 90s. Okay, oh, hey, I guessed right. And Russ is just saying that, I need to show you what I worked up for SFB Online, how to impress SFB Online to attract more users, did a lot of code, because you always want detail, which I do. I always want details because Lord knows there have been more than one person that said, you need to, what was it? We had a thread on the discussion board, which was, okay, you saw SFB Online, but you didn't like it. Why? You know? And we got some really just generic answers. And unfortunately, with those generic answers, like, it's not doesn't look modern. Okay, what does that mean? What kind of look and feel are you looking for? You know, what's modern to me might not be modern to you. You know, I need details, and that's what Russ is mentioning about. Okay, Russ is saying, I've done enough to show. I just need to polish some presentation stuff and figure out how you want to share my screen. The screen, PIA versus. Okay. I'm not sure how you're going to do that one. He had mentioned how you can eliminate the PIA versus C4F issue. For those of you This abbreviation stands for pure impulse activity versus call for fire. When that whole discussion was hot, I mean, burning up the freaking discussion board so much so that we actually had a separate topic just for that discussion. And just to let you know, I still have an archive of that discussion. That it was, I mean, it was quite heated. And unfortunately, I disagree with Steve Cole. Because Steve Cole says, you know, that call for fire is basically what it was designed for. It's like, no. According to the rules, for SFB, you're supposed to go through each and every impulse segment. Bump, 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 bump. And then at that point, if you you say, you got anything here? You got anything? You know, basically, you're supposed to go through these steps. Now, going through the steps is boring as hell. Which is why people hacked it. And they said, okay, we're going to do a call for fire. That means, you say, oh, I got fire. Which means you skip all those segments. And when you call for fire, then someone says, oh, wait a minute, I want to launch something. Now, the problem with that is, of course, the whole issue with metagaming. The idea is that given information which you're not supposed to know according to the rules, that you find out. And in this case, I most probably will be firing. So do you have anything that you want to do beforehand? Oh, like launch plasma torpedoes, launch drones, launch fighters, launch shuttles, transport. Use your transporters to transport some T-bombs out. Drop your shield and transport some T-bombs out. All this kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot. I did send that to you. Russell mentioned that I sent him the archive. It's like, yeah, I forgot I mentioned. I did that. Because I did, as I said, I do have a copy. Because I have a little script that I have, which can take the discussion board, any thread, and I can archive it. I can convert it into text, just the text that was posted there. Now, if it has images, it can't grab the images, but it just grabs the text because most of what's posted there was just text. The formatting is gone, but who cares about the formatting? The important thing is the text, But anyhow, get me started here, Oh, yeah, I still want to attract more players. And the one thing that I did do, which was, SFUWAID.com, it's a web-based aid. The idea is, it's an exciting idea to me. You don't know about Starfleet Warlord, Doug, so don't worry about this. Starfleet Warlord, one thing that happened when I took over is I created a GUI-based aid. The GUI-based aid, basically, what it would do is it would manage the whole game for you. It would manage reports, manage skins, all that stuff. You'd basically say, okay, I want to import this turn. Boom. It would import it, and then you have available via the client. So it was, and then you could create turns and then submit and then save it off and then email them. Now, one idea I came up with, which was around a month or so ago, which was I had a complaint. Someone said, "Can you submit turns via a phone or from a tablet?" And currently there wasn't. So I went, "Okay, is there a way of doing this?" And I said, I figured it out. But yeah, I can do it web-based. I can have it so you actually can load up a file. Originally, I was going to load up the actual turn file. Then I realized, I think the best thing to do is actually have it so you can load up a file and then save it in the same format. And then if you want to work it again, you can upload it again. The idea is that it's a web-based application, which is web-based. Nothing is on the server. Everything is done within the browser itself. So you can actually enter, you can create your orders, which then you can submit, and you can submit using this different file format. Now, I've got to do some work on that website to make it a little nicer, and there's definitely, I want to improve the functionality of that web-based aid. But the genius idea that came from starting to do that was the idea that your email client can be the ultimate manager of your games. Now, obviously, it can't actually, in theory, it can manage any notes that you have, because if you want to, you can send email to yourself, and then if you send email to yourself, you get in, to your inbox, and then you can store that into a folder, which is your game folder, for that game. Then you can save off notes. I changed it so that the emails that went out now have the actual maps as separate files instead of part of a zip file. So you have that, and then you have a separate JSON file, which also is part of the email. And then, of course, you have the actual report, which is the actual email itself. So in my mind, that makes it, and I changed it so that the subject line actually tells you what turn you're actually getting this report for. Therefore allowing you to manage using the email client as the ultimate Starfleet Warlord aid way of managing your games. And I thought I did that. I went, wow, that's a cool idea. I love that idea. It's simplistic. It's simple. You don't have to have a lot of infrastructure in place. You don't have to. A person doesn't even need to have a computer. All they need is a tablet or a phone. I think you probably want a tablet more than a phone. But you can use that tablet or phone and manage everything on that device. You don't need an extra client. You don't have to. You have to use a website to create your orders. But you can then resave them back onto your phone or your tablet, because I've actually done that. I did that with my tablet. I didn't try that with my phone. My assumption that I could do it with my phone is just that it's a smaller screen. My tablet is like a 10.5-inch diagonal screen. I think it might be 11. Yeah, I think it's 11. It's an iPad Pro, the smaller iPad Pro. So you can do that, and actually it will save it locally onto the device. And in theory, I've not tried this, but in theory, you should be able to use a Chromebook to do this exactly the same thing. So that's one thing I probably should do is on the SFW Aid website is to write up all this. Now, right now, the website itself, it sucks. I put it up there just to have the web page there. I have an initial homepage, which, I mean, it's ugly. Okay, give me a sec here. Okay. And what I want to do is something real quick. I'm not going to, when it comes to SEO, search optimization, this is not going to do it. So for those of you, this is what the homepage for SFW Aid looks like. It has a blank page with two links on it. A child could probably create a better one, but this was a fast one. If you want to, you can go into the Warlord Aid, and then that's when you have your ships or extra orders and base orders. You have your file, and you just do a choose file. It'll pop up and go, hey, where is it? And actually, this one, I should be able to bring up that. And then you can see all these wonderful ships. And then you can start entering your orders into here. And after you're done, you just click save. And it will save the file. So the idea here is to make it attract more players for that. And also, I want to have it so that people can possibly use maybe the email workflow to be introduced to it, you know, and possibly get so I can automate it. Because I want it to have it so that people can play it in kind of single player mode. But you can do. It is possible to do. Currently, it's the automatic part that I have to get done for that. But anyway. Okay, I think we'll end it there because it's getting late and I need to... I still got to record the news portion of this thing. Doug, it's been wonderful hanging out with you. Is there anything you want to hawk?
Well, yes, I do want to hawk something. Yes, we're still doing the fundraiser for Gamers of Winter. We're trying to find a better space that, than what we've had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly a multi-week or a month lease instead of you know, a weekend at a single place. We discussed this extensively at the last few times I've been on the podcast. Had a down note in that it looks like they're going to do their final SFB tournament up in New York this September.
Yep, that will be part of
it. I don't know if any of them are going to come down and run anything in January when we have Gamers of Winter.
Yeah.
But I opened that door for them. I threw it out there. If they decide to come down, that would be awesome. We want to do anything expanded for SFU at Gamers of Winter, just let me know.
Mm-hmm.
And very much like you, I haven't raised the price on the event in years and years and years. I couldn't actually tell you the last time I raised the price on it. It's like $10 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness.
Yeah. Oh, I understand.
But no, it's, we're still in the GoFundMe to see about doing a lease. Our last place that we had, basically, they were great. We loved it. They liked us because we're, you know, overall a very low-key, low-maintenance event for them.
Yeah, I mean, we did but pretty good, kept things clean and so forth.
Not do their rent out anymore. So they're repurposing their space.
Yep.
And, well, with huge drop in attendance post-COVID, it's going to take some doing to get a comparable space, so to speak. And yeah, there's a lot of spaces out there. It's just the prices have all gone up. So, but on a more positive note, we're still going to do the event.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just it helps to have more supporters. We had a few more donations.
Good to
which
hear.
Is awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of about all I've got on the rah 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 part for Gamers of Winter at the moment.
Okay, now Kitty, say goodnight.
Thank you.
Good night, people. Good night.
Good night. Aw.
He's right.
He'll grow up and be such a good kitty cat.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep, very cute kitty. And to those of you, of course, go to gamersofwinter.net. That's the place to find out about Gamers of Winter and of also right there on the front page right there. Smack dab in the middle is the GoFundMe link. So you can easily, easy way to find the GoFundMe link, just go to gamersofwinter.net. That's gamersofwinter.net.
Oh, I throw an alibi in there?
An alibi? Sure.
Yeah, like an extra thing. Mm-hmm. Also, we're on Facebook, Gamers of South Central PA Gaming Convention. Just... look us up there. I mean, if you're in Maryland, Southern PA, you know, that's not necessarily a bad spot to go look for other gamers, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you have the SF boards and all that, but that's a direct one that where people will be coming out to the event. So, There's that. If anybody wants to run an SFB or an FNE tournament on top of the demos that Paul comes out to run,
yay!
We'd love to have you there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's all I
do. Okay, well, Doug, you have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, bye. So, ladies and gentlemen, any other strange alien creatures that are also, you know, local zinnies are listening tonight. We've had a nice discussion about the FedCom X ships. You know, I disagree with the whole plasma thing. That gets me riled up on that one. And if I ever get going on that, on, you know, having a decent group to play FedCom with, then most probably what I'm going to do is we're going to have a house rule when it comes to that. And if someone can, obviously that's one thing I probably should try out myself, this, you know, lone person, which is, okay, what happens if you actually allow them to have actual weapon status 3? Don't know. Only one way to find out, ain't there? So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.